extremely tasteful.
Breakfast food on 95 BFM, thanks to Foodprint, the only food ordering app you need.
Oh, g'day, Sam.
Good morning.
Oh, nice to see you. Did you have a good holiday?
I did. It was really chill and lots of good food.
I think that's what we've all needed, is just a big old break. Just to relax.
Absolutely.
Food is good, though. I definitely ate my way through the summer holidays. And I'm imagining you had a very enjoyable festive feasts kind of season.
Yeah, I've eaten so many different things. And, like, you know, from fine dining to, like, casual eats to, like, cooking at home, it's all kind of melted into one idea of just having good food.
Exciting. Nice. Before we get stuck into what we're going to talk about today, which is smells and food, which I think is so interesting, it's probably a good time to remind everyone, if you're back in Auckland and feeling a bit blue because you're not on holiday anymore, Sam has contributed a fantastic list of like casual eats and food that you can get for pretty reasonable prices around Tāmaki Makaurau, which is in Metro Mag, is that right?
Yeah, that's Metro's 50 eats under $25.
Excellent. So that's a great list for little treats to give yourself to get through these first few weeks back at work, I reckon. So go and check that one out. But let's talk about some smells, Sam.
Yes. Okay, so during the break, I was trying to understand, like, why we like food.
Yeah, good question.
Yeah, but also, like, kind of why people don't like certain things that, you know, I like, etc. So it's on this, like, discovery journey. And a lot of it has to do with senses and nostalgia and memory. So I've come across this book called Nosedive by Harold McGee.
Good title. Is, you know, and a good name.
Oh, perfect name. It's a field guide to the world of smells.
Wow.
So it took Harold 10 years to write this book. And originally he was going to write a book on the fascinating world of flavor, which he pitched for 2 years.
Wow.
But when he kind of dove into the world of smells, it took him 10 years.
Whoa.
Because he was like, this is so complex.
Wow.
So, I mean, the segment's only 10 minutes, so I can't talk about smells.
This book is hefty. You've brought it in. It looks like an encyclopedia. It's huge.
Well, yeah, it's a field guide.
Yeah, exactly.
It talks about molecules and why we like certain smells and, like, kind of what is smell?
Right. That's a good place to start. So what is smell? And I mean, like, I think everybody knows it contributes so much to how we enjoy food and experience the world. But, like, what is it at a very basic level, Sam?
Taking a step back, smell is basically molecules that enter our nose receptors, which then tell us the information of what's happening around us. Smell is the bridge to what enters our body and the immediate circle around us. And with that information, it is so powerful because it allows us to know where we are, if we're in a safe space, because we, like, that sense of primal instinct is to tell us danger or safety or
far
comfort
out.
And kin. How does it work? It's basically, it enters our receptors in our nose, then it tells our brain, being like, well, these are the molecules that we're familiar with, so we'll ignore them, right? Which is like carbon and all the, like, oxygen, all the normal stuff. But it's the molecules that are foreign to us that we don't experience all the time.
Uh-huh.
That our brain goes, this is a different environment or this is a different product. So then we are starting to understand what is happening.
That's so interesting.
That's fascinating.
It kind of makes sense when you start to break it down. You're like, oh, yeah, well, of course. Like, you don't go around, unless you're, like, very stinky because you've gone for a run or something, you don't go around smelling yourself because you are you. Your brain's like, you don't need to know that. You're fine.
Yeah.
But you notice it when you go to someone else's house and it smells different there because the food they cook is different or, like, the washing powder they use is different. And, you know, there's all these little things. Certain smells will remind you of your grandma or your, like, auntie's batch from, like, the late 90s. Like, really specific memories can be so strongly attached to smell.
Yeah, 100%. And, like, nostalgia plays a big part of that in developing our smell memory.
Uh-huh.
So we don't associate things. There's no such thing as a bad smell. So there's only smells. But we associate things with happy or bad memories based on how it reminds us of something. So I think cilantro or coriander is like a very interesting one where people go, oh, it smells like soap.
Ah.
Yeah, but it's like, or does soap smell like coriander?
Uh-huh.
You know, so it's one of those questions. It'd be hard to find a Thai or a Mexican person that would dislike coriander because it would be the first memory that they develop first in terms of what they eat. Mm. Then therefore they associate that memory with that product.
That's so fascinating. So when you say it's molecules, it's really important to our understanding of the world, how does that then filter into food and eating? Because as you say, I mean, it's so central to our understanding of ourselves. But in food, how does that play out? Because we don't really think about it very often.
Yeah, and it comes back down to nostalgia, right? So, I mean, flavor is the combination of smell and taste. Mm-hmm. We can only taste five things, so sweet, salt, sour, bitter, and umami, which is savory.
Mm.
And then we can register up to thousands of different smells, depending on how we train our nose and smell memory.
Ooh, cool.
And then it's the combination of those two plus texture. So that is the how we objectify if something is flavorful or not, or does it taste like we're able to eat it and nourish our bodies, because we naturally adapt to not enjoying things that are bitter, etc., because of the fact that the primal instinct of bitter may be poison.
Mm-hmm.
But as we've developed, we've actually started to enjoy things that are quote unquote poisonous to us, such as spices, because we're not meant to just eat spices. but we toast them to increase aromatics, to add complexity to food.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's pleasant, but in really small amounts, you know, such as a marzipan or the flavor of that almond essence.
Mm.
That is basically poison. but through kind of, I guess, organic chemistry and being able to isolate certain smells, we can replicate that essence.
Yes.
And make it food safe. And then add it to food.
Wow. That's so interesting. How does this kind of come into play when we start thinking about specific dishes that are really particular to certain cultures, but that other folks, particularly it always comes down to in the West, when you get the kind of racist fear factor thing where you're like, oh, eating a fermented duck egg or something, and everyone freaks out, and you're like, well, that's just the thing that people eat quite commonly in other parts of the world. How does smell factor into people's enjoyment or, I guess, dislike of those kind of foods?
The food that people question the most is always the most intense, right?
Yes.
So blue cheese, fermented food products, durian. These are ones that really fill out your retronasal receptors. And this is so encompassing that we kind of jump back because we don't know how to read it. If you think about it a lot more, the most complex things are a combination of different molecules. So think of it as like in music terms, a chord, right?
Yes.
So a chord has different notes, and some notes you might not make sense on its own, but together it makes something quite beautiful and magical. But we have to understand how that chord sounds.
Yeah.
So it's a bit like taking a step back from smell, and if something does smell bad, you go, why does it smell bad?
Yeah.
And durian has the same molecules as fermenting onion and beautiful strawberries. So,
wow, really?
Yeah, so it's kind of like we take back because strawberries shouldn't be mixed with fermented onions. But if you understand that smell and break it down, it's like, oh, it's actually, you know, it's just two different things combined together.
It's kind of training yourself to re-understand these kind of intense experiences that you can have through smell so that they're not freaky.
Yeah.
That's so super interesting.
And also smells can be developed, like how good your smell is. We always say animals have way more smell receptors, therefore they're so much better at smelling. But if you think about it, what other creature would look at fermented grape juice being we get notes of these other things? So our sense of smell can be trained to be incredibly heightened.
I guess also because as humans, smell is one of many senses we use to understand the world, where for a lot of animals, it's so primal because it's how they are hunting and gathering what they need to survive. We've developed over, millions of years, other tools. So we kind of get a bit lazy and we don't think about smell being quite so necessary, but it's so fundamental.
That cliche of stop and smell the roses.
Literally.
Yes.
Stop and smell the durian, everybody.
Yeah.
It's actually quite lovely. This sounds like you've really been quite inspired by this book. Would you recommend it to people to just pick up and read?
Yes.
Who is this book good for?
Oh, everyone.
Awesome.
I mean, it's literally talking about one of our five senses, right?
Like, totally.
I mean, at an expert level, but it's also quite personal to Harold. Like, at one point writing the book, he lost his sense of smell for 2 months, and he realized how depressed he was without the sense of smell. Like, he couldn't enjoy foods that he loved, or he couldn't recognize places that he felt comfort. So then he talks about that in the book, and I think
that's fascinating.
As much as academic, there is also some really beautiful stories in there as well.
This is so great. So remind people what the name of the book is and who wrote it.
It's called Nosedive, a field guide to the world of smells by Harold McGee.
Sounds fantastic. You've also told us that there's cool coffee things happening this week.
Yes, this Saturday from 5 p.m. till late at Ozone in Grey Lynn is the AeroPress Championships.
Now, remind us which one AeroPress is again.
So it looks like a giant plastic syringe with a filter paper.
Awesome. And
yeah, so it's a fun little competition. There's always a party. There's really fun alcoholic and non-alcoholic drinks for everyone. And it's a knockout competition. So it's, I believe it's 32 competitors who go three at a time, and the judges will taste which brew is the best. They all use the same coffee, and until there's one person left.
Is it the same judges for the whole way through? Because I'm just imagining they must be so wired with caffeine by the end of it.
No, so there is a panel. There is a panel, and it's kind of randomized in who goes up. And
okay,
and
cool. Yeah. I was just imagining like three poor people just like buzzing. I think that one was better. Also, did I leave the iron on?
I need to lie down.
Yeah. No, it's always a fun time at AeroPress Throwdowns.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Sam. Have a lovely week. It's great to have you back in the studio. Yes. We'll see you next Thursday.
Thank you for having me.
Food for thought. Breakfast food on 95 BFM. Thanks to Foodprint, the only food ordering app you need.
Thank you so much.